fashion. We ask you to do that, Lord God. Come in this coming now, Lord. We know that you're here and we trust you in your precious name. Amen. Brother, would you plug that white cord in? Thanks. Hallelujah. How many loves him with all your heart? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change, right? Thank God for that. So if you have your Bibles with you, or if you just want to follow along, I'm going to read this passage for you. Now, if some of you are wondering what version I use, New King James, King James, versions like that. So I'm going to hear me read out of the New King James version. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. We're just going to be following along with the thought that we've been having along the way. 9 indisputable facts about the rapture. How many can say amen? I hope one of those indisputable facts is you're going. Hallelujah. How many will they? Yeah, that's me. I want to be counted in. Amen. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 17. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself, by means of a shout, by means of the voice of an archangel, and by means of the trump of God, will descend from heaven. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And I'm going to add a thought in here that you pick up in 1 Thessalonians, I believe it is chapter 5, where Paul says that, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment and a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. And what he's saying there is when the resurrection happens, then we which are alive and remain are going to be changed. Isn't that exciting? So I hope that excites you. You may be seated. How many was here Wednesday night? Wow, we really got into some really good stuff, didn't we? That was a tremendous experience. Let's talk about the 9 indisputable facts about the rapture. We've already gone through 6 of them, actually 7 of them. We're going to deal with the 8th one today. First, who knows what the first indisputable fact about the rapture is? Anybody here? Anybody know what the first thing is? Who knows? Christoph, do you know, brother? What's the first indisputable fact about the rapture? Guess what it is? There's going to be a rapture. That's not that hard. Listen, do I need to go back and re-preach this thing again? All right, there's going to be a rapture. I mean, that's written in the Word of God. It's promised by God. You can see it in all the types of history and all the types of the Bible, all the types just in nature itself, that God is a God of restoration. He's going to always restore what he originally intended in the first place. It really doesn't matter what troubles you're going through in life, you're going to come back. Everything always comes back to what God originally intended. So don't expect your body, if it's in pain, if you're hurting, it's not going to stay that way. It's going to be changed. Amen. There is going to be a rapture. The second indisputable fact is that it will be a pre-tribulation rapture. Amen. I'm kind of excited about that because I don't really feel like going through the tribulation period. I would do it. I'm willing to do it, but I don't really feel like doing it. Are there things that you don't feel like doing? I don't feel like mowing my lawn, but I'll do it. I mean, that's just being silly, but you get it. There is a fact that the rapture, when it does happen, will be before the tribulation period. Thank the Lord for that. Number 3, it includes the resurrection and the body change. That's also pretty exciting. That's number 3. Number 4, it requires a special kind of faith. Praise the Lord. You don't see people being raptured all through the church history. They're all going by way of the grave, but that's going to change when they're resurrected, and then we're going to have our body changes. That's going to be exciting. But so keep that in mind. But it's going to require a special kind of faith. That faith wasn't fully available until now. And that's number five. All faith, including rapturing faith, comes by hearing the word of God. And then number six, God hid the revelation of the body change in his word, but he's promised to send a prophetic ministry to open it up for us. Aren't you glad today to know that God has sent a message of truth to us to wake us up to the truth that's laying in the word of God? I don't believe in any message outside of the Bible. I don't believe in any kind of a message that's added to the Bible. I believe it's the message of the Bible. It was always there. It was hidden there. We just didn't see it there. Just like the New Testament was birthed out of the Old Testament. It was always in the Old Testament, but people didn't realize that. They got stuck on religion and all that other stuff. Just to clarify number six, God hid the revelation of the body change in his word, promised an end time prophetic ministry to clear that up. To open it up to us, God has always had a system of hiding liberating truth within his word to be revealed in its proper time and foreordained season. Don't forget that. God has always had a plan, and the way he structured the Bible, he structured it in such a way so that he could hide his truth in there. And the babes could understand it, but the wise and the prudent would miss it a million miles. Isn't that amazing how God does things? He does things in a way that the devil is kept guessing, but his children know the answer. It's exciting to me. I love that stuff. In fact, Jesus made a very clear statement on that. He said, listen, he said, if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Do you understand that? There's a lot of people who understand or read the Word of God. They understand the importance of reading the Word of God. But the real reason to be in the Word of God is to find the truth that is in there. And when truth is revealed, it liberates you. Amen. The beauty of it is it sets you free. Now, in Galatians 3:23, when the Apostle Paul is writing about the truth that was hidden in the Old Testament, now exposed through Christ, now being opened by the apostles and the prophets in his day, he says this, but before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith that which would be afterward revealed. That's a powerful wording there. And it's interesting because I've studied and read in the Old Testament, looking up the word faith in the Old Testament in Hebrew word faith, and you'll find it just a handful of times. Because it's all about do it or else. You know, the law is you better do this or else. If you don't do this, you're going to be stoned. If you don't do this, you're going to miss out on the promises of God. But the New Testament is that faith was hidden there in God's word, but now revealed in our day. Can you say amen? Amen. In other words, the Bible is an amazing book. What an amazing book the Bible is. God has an uncanny ability to hide faith-giving revelation in his word. And then once God exposes this hidden truth, hallelujah, it can be revealed by the Holy Spirit to receptive hearts. Hey, I've got a question for you this morning. How many receptive hearts do we have here today? How many receptive hearts do we have here? God wants to reveal this hidden truth to receptive hearts. He's just waiting for you to be ready. And when it is, then faith is born in you. Faith is born in you. Hallelujah. So that's number six. Number seven, we are living in the season of this rapture revelation. God's not going to have a rapture hit the earth without a people ready for it. There has to be a faith. As the Bible, as we learned, Enoch walked, and by faith he was translated. He was raptured. So faith is going to be tied in with this, because more so than just being caught up, faith is playing a role in this end time, according to the word of God, to change our bodies, because our bodies have to be changed. Now, I don't know about you, but what good is a rapture going to be if you're going in this old thing? I mean, some of you are younger, so you don't you don't really see what the difference will be. Believe me, I don't care if you're perfect age, perfect health, you're going to notice the difference. You will notice a big difference. So I believe in a change of the body, and that's going to require faith, and that faith is going to come by God's word. Can you say amen? Amen. So we're living in the season of this rapture revelation, the hidden truth of the resurrection, body change, the rapture. has been revealed in our day. These are truly the days of Elijah. Can you say amen? The Bible is an open book. The seventh seal is revealed. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And rapturing faith is being born in receptive hearts. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to tell you something. There was a time when somebody was looking for the Welsh revival, and they went to Wales, and they were walking around looking for it, and they walked up to a police officer. Where can I find the Welsh revival? Remember that story? And the police officer happened to be part of it because he was full of the Holy Ghost, and he says, well, you're looking at it. Hallelujah. You're looking at it. The Welsh revival is not in a building. It's not in a city. It was everywhere. It was Jesus in the people. And I want you to know the rapture is not going to be here. It's not going to be there. It's already in the people. It's already in us. Birthed by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The rapture revelation is happening in this season now. And number eight. Now, here's the eighth indisputable fact about the rapture. And that's what I want to focus our attention on for this morning's message. Amen. Now, it is there remains a supernatural element despite the revelation. Now, this is just a principle of the Bible. Oftentimes, God would give a revelation of something and a mystery would be identified, but it didn't take place in the person's life right away until later, or it didn't even take place until they were long gone and it was way down the road. For instance, God told Abraham, everywhere you put the sole of your feet in this land is yours. But Abraham never really possessed any of the land. The Bible even says about a lot of the heroes of the faith, if you read Hebrews chapter 11, that they never even got a chance to experience the promise. But they believed in it and they embraced it, though it was afar off. Isn't that powerful? Because God sometimes will reveal something and then those people walked by faith knowing it's true, just like Paul and all the rest to our day for 2,000 years, 1,900 years. People were believing in a body change. They were believing in a resurrection, but they died in faith believing in it. That's why they're guaranteed to be part of it. Hallelujah. But it didn't happen in their day. But God retains, though that mystery is revealed, God retains a supernatural element. In other words, you're not going to trigger it yourself. No great man is going to rise up. No pope in Rome is going to do it. It's going to be God Almighty who brings it to pass. And it will come to you because you believe in it. Amen. This is in Is This the Sign of the End, Sir? And it's a quote from Schofield's Bible, where it says, a mystery in Scripture is a previously hidden truth, now divinely revealed, but in which a supernatural element still remains despite the revelation. Even though we cannot overemphasize revelation, revelation alone is just kind of a starting point. Faith for healing, for example, is the beginning. If you don't have faith for healing, I don't know how that healing is going to come to you, unless God just does a miracle, which he can do. But faith for anything is a starting point. Praise the Lord. But faith, the point of faith is to believe in a promise that God made and trust that it's going to happen in your time. I'm thankful today to know that God has healed me so many different ways. I can tell you four different things that God has healed me that were just doctors were involved where I should have been under surgery. I told you one already, right? I went into the doctor. They were supposed to do surgery 2 weeks ago. And he said, there's nothing I can do. You don't need surgery. That's pretty nice when your doctor tells you you don't need surgery.
Amen.
It's pretty nice to get your money back, right? Hallelujah. I don't know, understand it, but this doctor charged me before he did anything. That's kind of weird. But he's like, he said, I don't even know how to do this. Somehow we got to give you your money back. So I'm like, okay, I'll take the money. I made him write me a note too. He had this, but he no longer has this. That's kind of cool, right? And I got pictures so I can prove to you that there was something, a lump on my shoulder, and that's gone. So thank God for that. And that's for like 10 years that thing's been sitting there. So if God can heal that, why can't he just heal this 55-year-old, sorry, I just thought I was younger. 55-year-old. Hey, 55 is grace. So, hey, I'm ready to take it. I'm ready. How many would like to have your body healed to the point where you're back to a 21-year-old permanently in perfect health? Amen. That's pretty exciting stuff. Amen. And I think if you have, and I believe in my heart, God's just saying, use the little faith for the little things, and then you'll build up, and your faith will start believing in bigger things. Got to take baby steps sometimes. But in other words, we have the mechanics of the body change. We just need the dynamics. It'd be like going to the shop or the dealership and saying, I love that car. That's my dream car. I want to own that car. But it's not going to matter until you take possession of it and have the keys in your hand and turn the ignition and something fires up. I mean, you don't even know how good that car is unless it can start, right? But everything is there. You don't see wheels missing. You don't see the hood is not on it. Everything is there. All the mechanics are there. It's got the potential to be a moving, living thing, to be something supernatural, you might say, because it's beyond our nature. And that's the way it works with this body change. We have the mechanics of it, but we need the dynamics. We need the key to be turned. Hallelujah. There is a supernatural trigger, I like to call it, that'll activate our rapturing faith to change our bodies. I'll repeat that one more time. There is a supernatural trigger that will start or that will ignite our rapturing faith and give us a body change. See, the reason why you say, well, why don't we have that now? How come I can't experience that now? Because God does not want any one of us to go before anyone else. And not only that, but the resurrection has to happen first. So you see, he has it timed. It's timed perfectly. But you hold on to it because something's going to trigger it. Here's the verse of scripture I was thinking of. Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, how many has the spirit of Jesus dwelling in you? Amen. Amen. He who raised Christ from the dead will also make alive your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. If the spirit of Christ is dwelling in you, listen to me, saints, the rapture is dwelling in you. If the spirit of Jesus Christ that made his body come to life is dwelling in you, and he was changed from someone that they thought looked 50 to someone that they couldn't even recognize. Even his own disciples walked with him and didn't know it was him. Amen. He looked like a young man. Are you new here or something? They didn't know it was him. Hallelujah. And if that same spirit is in you, Brother James, I'm telling you, that spirit is the body change already inside of you. Your body will just materialize right around the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God will just direct it and make it happen. All your atoms are going to obey the word of the Lord. These atoms have been purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says he purchased you, body, spirit, and soul. You are purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. So these belong to him. And they're mine. They're our possession. They're our inheritance. Hallelujah. Personal divine revelation is where the spirit of truth reveals a hidden truth to you and faith for a particular promise is birthed in you. Hallelujah. I remember, you know, I believe in healing. I believe God heals. I know he's still in the healing business today. How about you? I believe for my arm, for healing. But it was something about when I was reading a scripture, I was reading something, and I was looking at a quote here and there, and all of a sudden, it all just really came to me. And it just really struck me. And sometimes how God just deals with it. It's a journey, saints. We progress with the Lord and we learn from the Lord. And it just came to me. And it just was something that was revealed that just struck me just right. It doesn't have to be the same revelation for you. God's going to deal with you a little differently. But you can still get the same results. Can you say amen? But the way the Lord dealt with me, very simply, he says, look, he said, I just wish my people would accept what I did for them. Like, it's our fault. And I started repenting. Why shouldn't I? I should be that way. I should just accept it. And it was just the simplicity of we have it intellectually. We kind of mentally believe, but he's waiting for it to drop down in our hearts where we spiritually receive. Go from mentally believing to spiritually receiving. And so I was in a repentant attitude of, Lord, forgive me for not accepting your gift. Like, I'm the one who mentally refuses, not even knowing I'm refusing. And then that was it. It was done. It's just going to happen. God did all the rest. Each experience of our salvation is activated by divine revelation, whether it's salvation, healing, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All of our experiences are activated by divine revelation. Can you say amen? Because the only thing that pleases God is faith. And faith is revelation. Revelation is not something you can do, something you can get, something you can acquire. You can put yourself in the right position to receive it, but revelation is something that transpires inside of you. You don't control it. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. Revelation is something that God will trigger it by his word, and something in you just adapts it, just takes it, just experiences it, and the word becomes personal to you. In other words, you cannot overemphasize revelation. Watch what is said in the Message countdown. He says, it is the Holy Ghost that we're justified by. The Holy Ghost sanctifies us. The Holy Ghost fills us. The Holy Ghost gives us rapturing faith as we move up. Isn't that amazing? That's why you say, well, I don't know. Do I have rapturing faith or not? Do you have the Holy Ghost? You could be in a process right now that you're just being sanctified. That's okay. The Holy Ghost is, if he saves you, if he sanctifies you, he's doing it because he wants to fill you. Amen. If he's filling you, he's doing it because he wants to change you. Amen. Hallelujah. I love that thought that you've often heard, that God loves you so much he'll take you as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. He's a God of change. He doesn't change. We need to change. And not only that, but we need a body change. Can you say amen? In another message, Spiritual Food in Due Season, he says, I want you to get built up now in the holy oracles of God. That is the word of God. In the faith of this hour. It's going to take more faith than ever was in any age, for this has to be rapturing faith. Praise the Lord. A quality of faith that says, I believe this old body is going to be changed. I'm groaning in myself, but this old thing is going to be changed. How many can say, I believe that this is going to happen? I believe it. I have a revelation that it's going to happen. We have the mechanics of rapturing faith, but it's time for the dynamics of rapturing faith. Can you say amen? Mechanics of it, that is the revealed word. We have the revealed word. We have it experientially. We have it because we've received it. But the dynamics of it is the outpouring of the Spirit. That is what will trigger rapturing faith. In fact, it'll be an anointing rapturing faith. We don't have this yet, but I'm telling you, by God's word, it is coming. Amen. Praise the Lord, and it's right around the corner. Amen. It is not far away. Amen. It is within reach. Jesus said, will I find faith, and I believe he meant rapturing faith, when I come. Speaking of his coming, he says, will I find faith when I come? Jesus, as the Son of David in his corporal body, comes to the air. How many understands that? I tell you by the word of the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Can you say amen? And we will be caught up to meet him where? In the air. He doesn't come to the earth in the rapture. He goes to the air. We meet him in the air. The air is a place between heaven and earth. Praise the Lord. We're going to meet him there. Paul said, I was caught up to the third heaven. We're going to meet him there. Amen. He will, as the Son of David, he will descend to the air, and he'll send his Lion of Judah anointing, his Spirit, down to his bride. How many wants to receive that when it happens? When the Spirit of Christ comes in the rapture day, oh my brother and sister, there is nothing that's going to stop your faith from fulfilling what it's supposed to do. It is going to be God's promise, his word, activated in your life. You're going to be changed. You can't stop it from happening. Watch this. What shall I do with Jesus called Christ? He says, the dynamics of this church will be a refilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, how many would like a refilling of the Holy Spirit? You know, we ought to be having one and another and another. I'd like every Sunday you get a refilling of the Holy Spirit. I mean, isn't that kind of why you come here? I mean, why do you go to the gas station? Sometimes you might want to buy bubble gum. Sometimes you most of the time, though, you're trying to get gas, right? You want a refilling. Amen. So your car can keep going forward. Amen. In your life, we all need a refilling of the Holy Spirit so we can keep going forward. And I trust that this morning, under the preaching of the word, under the anointing of the hour, under the revelation of this day, you're going to receive a refilling of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! One today, one next day, next day, next day, Wednesday, Sunday, again and again, a refilling of God's Spirit coming into you. I tell you, that's what excites me. That's what excites me. I'm not excited to go to church just to sing a few songs, hear a sermon, and go home. I want to be refilled with God's Spirit. Because one of these days is going to be it. You can't stay in this thing. In this thing we groan because we're waiting for a new body. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. So he says, when the head and body unites together, and he says, the full power of the Holy Ghost will raise her up, even the dead in Christ, will rise in the beauty of holiness and take a flight to the skies. The dynamics is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Is the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm looking for a time. This is the token. I'm looking for a time of a break forth. Strange language, but I kind of like it. I'm looking for a breaking forth. A time of a break forth of the Spirit of God in these last days that we're living in. He says, and this is my favorite part here. He says, for another surge of the Holy Spirit into the church for a rapturing faith just before the rapture comes. If you don't think this is what's going to happen, you were missing out on the promises of God. Every time there was a rapture, whether it was Enoch or whether it was Elijah or Jesus, there was always the supernatural of God was always present. Enoch walked with God. God took him. Elijah was caught up in supernatural chariots of fire. Hallelujah. Horses and a whirlwind. And Elijah was caught up. Jesus was caught up and there was a cloud. And there was always something supernatural nearby. Listen, saints, I don't know about you, but I don't want to walk closer to the world as this world is going slipping off the slope. I want to walk closer to the supernatural. I want to walk closer to my God. I want to be closer to that whirlwind. That's what's going to take me out of here. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm looking, he says, I'm believing another surge of the Holy Spirit for a rapturing faith. And once more, another message, he says, Lord, years I've wanted to see this happen. Maybe it will be. He says, maybe it will. Just once more, Lord. One more great move of the Spirit. One more time, Lord. And the church might receive the rapturing faith to go in. Hallelujah. Now you might say, well, if this outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to give us rapturing faith, then we don't have it yet. But that's not what he's saying. Follow the whole thought. What he's saying is we have rapturing faith. We have rapturing faith, and we're going to show that in a minute. Hallelujah. But we need rapturing faith to be anointed to the point where it changes these mortal bodies. Does that make sense? So be able to separate those two things, because how many here can say, praise God, I've been caught up, hallelujah, out of a dark denominational world that we have lived in for all this time. I've been caught up out of this deception out there and this stuff. And I've been caught up into one thing, and that is into relationship with him through his word. His word has become precious to me. His word is the love letter to me. And I've been caught up into that. Hallelujah. Can you say praise God? Now, he says, Lord, I wanted to see it. And then, finally, in three kinds of believers, when the bride is called out and elected and set in the book of life, there will come a sound from heaven that'll take such a baptism of the Holy Spirit into that bride that'll take her from the earth in the rapture and grace. That's a pretty powerful mouthful right there. That's a statement and a half. And if you understand what he's saying there, he's saying basically when the last member is born again that makes up the bride, the body of Jesus Christ, that's it. He comes. That's it. There will be no reason to wait. It will be like the father saying, son, go get your bride. Amen. Hallelujah. It'll be like the preacher standing there, who gives this woman to be married to this man? And the parents say, we do. Or the father says, I do, or whatever it is. And then the preacher says, go get her. And the man has to walk down, get her hand, and bring her up. Hallelujah. And I believe that's exactly what will happen. I believe the time is coming, saints, when the bride is becoming more beautiful because she's anointed with the Holy Spirit. She's becoming more beautiful because she's covered in the Word. She's dressed in the Word. Hallelujah. So beautiful. And when the last one comes in, she's perfect. Praise the Lord. And the Father says, go get her. Go get her. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? He says there'll be a baptism of the Holy Spirit into the bride that'll take her from the earth. In a rapture in grace. God promised it. He says there is a heaven and there is a literal Lord Jesus Christ there that will come in a body form to receive his church to himself. No matter how old the story seems, it's still the truth. God said so, and that's what believers believe. I think he just wrote a song right there, don't you? That sounds like a song to me. Brother James, go ahead. You can write that one out. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, there's a heaven, there's a literal Lord Jesus there, and who will come in a body form to receive his church to himself. No matter how old the story seems, it's still the truth. God said so. That's what believers believe. When will this supernatural rapture anointing come? Here's my answer to that. It comes when the church, the bride, is fully pulled together. When every member is in and she's pulled together. It's kind of a two-part event that God is orchestrating right now. One is to get the last one in, which should also be our hunger and desire. We should have a burden for the lost and those that need to find their home, amen? But secondly, is to pull the whole thing together. That's probably a lot harder than we think. But God's doing it right now as we speak. I am seeing around the world, God is raising up leadership and leadership that's already existed for a long time and beginning to really focus on what's supposed to happen right now. Really working hard now to try and bring everyone together. There will be no rapture until we come together. I want to show you that in just a few things, a couple of scriptures. Here's another quote, why Christ speak. He says, we're looking for a rapturing faith that can pull the church together and give it some supernatural strength that can change these bodies that we live in. Can you say amen? Look how amazing that is, almost in stair-step fashion. A rapturing faith, we have it now. Thank God for that. Amen. The word is revealed. Can you say praise the Lord? But the power of that rapturing faith is it brings us together. If somebody has some kind of revelation that's driving people away, something's wrong. It's not supposed to drive us and put wedges in between. I'm talking about believers. If we're all believers and we all have this faith, I don't believe a rapture is going to come and then these group of believers go over in that corner of heaven, these group go over in that corner because they don't agree with each other. God's heaven is not going to be filled with a bunch of disagreeing people. They're going to be in love with each other. They're going to be embracing each other. They're going to be so filled with divine love and power. I believe that. But that can't happen there. It has to happen here. Does that make sense? It has to. God's body cannot be all distorted. It has to be coming together. So he says, we're looking for that. It'll take that and it will change these bodies. The supernatural strength is spoken of in the Bible where Jesus prophesies. I love that we can read a quote and understand that you can take any single quote and drive it right straight back to the Bible. I don't believe in some new revelation that's not in the Bible, some new revelation outside of the Bible. It's all going to drive straight back to the established Word of God. It has to. So supernatural strength is spoken of in the Bible where Jesus prophesies, the works that I do shall you do also, and even greater shall you do. Can you say amen? That's supernatural strength. I believe that we've never seen the greater works. We've seen examples of it. But we've never seen the full administration of greater works because only the bride is going to be able to do that. We've been given examples of it just to get a taste, but it's coming to us. You hold within you the foreordained promise of God to manifest Jesus' words, greater works, or Jesus was a false prophet, but we know he wasn't. He was a true prophet. He was God the prophet, and he said, you're going to do greater works. Oh, I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. Another place he says, if you say to this mountain, be removed, it'll obey you. I mean, that's powerful stuff. But saints, how hard can it be? We make it harder than it is. The fact of the matter is, Moses, who was under the blood of bulls and goats, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, hadn't died yet. He was able to speak, and these fleas came into existence, frogs came into existence, all these things, and then he could speak and take them out of existence. Moses, Elijah, different men of God, all through the Bible, all through history. Jesus came and he took five loaves and two fishes and he fed 5,000 people. How do you do that unless creation is involved? Can you say amen? And so God is saying, look, basically the hardest thing for God to do is to get the believers to believe who they are. That's so tough. Because Satan so beats up on us that all we focus on is all the negative. I'm no good. I'm not a very good Christian. I'm not really amounting to very much. And that's really defeating the purpose of God. God is wanting to raise us up into full revelation that he has redeemed us back to sons and daughters of God again with potential, not just potential, but full power. Can you say amen? An omnipotence that he placed within man when he said, I give you dominion over the earth, to have control over the earth, and to do it by the word of God. Can you say praise the Lord? See? Are you with me? So we refer to this manifestation of God as the third pole. It is a fishing term that's based on Jesus' words, I will make you fishers of men. If you're going to learn how to fish, you're going to use basically the type of natural fishing to fit with the type of supernatural fishing. When you're catching people for the Lord, you're using bait, you're using a hook, you're using a line, you have a mechanism and a way to draw people in. Listen, saints, are you drawing people in or are they running away from you? Hallelujah. Fishing is you have something that initially the fish might not want to go towards you, because when you're out in the world sinning, you're having the fun of your life, so-called. And, you don't really want to give any of that up because that's just scary. But once you realize that you're enjoying frosting on top of a dirt pile or a manure pile, you don't want to eat that stuff anymore. You're kind of done with that. It tastes good, right? The frosting, the whatever. But when you realize that real food tastes so amazing, when you realize real life is so wonderful, then you're ready to just leave all of that and get into that real life. And so when we're using this, the bait, for example, is healing and deliverance and freedom and relief. And what are we giving to people? We're giving them something that they can't find in the world. Relief and a release. Peace, love, joy. You can't find that in the world. There's not a bar in the world that says love, joy, peace, bar, you know, because they know that doesn't exist there. It's all fake. It's a facade. You're just waylaying the real issue. You drink or smoke or do drugs to just because you can't stand thinking about what you're missing. And then so you put it off. And then when you come back to yourself, you got to deal with it all over again. Hopefully there's people who will come back to themselves just like the prodigal son did, and he realized, I'm done in this slop pen and I want to go back to my father. Hallelujah. How many was one of those? Can you thank God that something brought you back? And that's the whole idea. So I want to make you fishers of men, and using the idea of when you throw in your line, you never see a fisherman throw in his line and then he goes, he just starts reeling in really fast because you're not going to catch anything. It doesn't look real. You throw it in, and then you make a little bit of a jerk, you know, one pole, and the fish go, oh, there's something over there, and they're kind of looking at it, and then the second pole, oh, it's alive, I'm going to go for it, and then they grab onto it, and then finally you yank your pole really hard, because what you want to do is set the hook. But they didn't know there was a hook there, they just knew there was something to eat. So the bait is healing, deliverance, and that's all good, it's good for them. But the hook, can you say praise God, is the word of God. The word of God in the end is what draws people. People might come here because they enjoy the worship, they're enjoying feeling the presence of the Lord, but in the end, they're going to really be a part of this because the word gets a hold of them. And they want to go deeper in the word, and they want to know that it's more than just candy cane and stuff like that. They want a real meal, amen? Praise the Lord. And speaking of the manifestation of the third pole, that'll be among the bride. The prophet of God said this will be the thing that will start the rapturing faith for the going away. I don't know about you, saints, but something has to trigger the rapturing faith. The rapturing faith is there, but there needs to be a supernatural. There is a supernatural that will trigger that rapturing faith. Hallelujah. For the going away. Body change, going away. The rapturing faith that we've been experiencing through the opening of the Word has raised us out of dark denominationalism. How many can say, praise God? Raise you out of the bar scene. Raise you out of the world. Raise you out of death. Raise you out of darkness and depression. Raise you out. And it's pulling the church together. It's pulling the believers together around the world. You're seeing it happen. That's the only thing that's really pulling us together, is rapturing faith. But when the third pole manifests itself, and by the way, it manifests itself. There is no human that's going to manifest it. It's just going to manifest itself. Watch, he says, it starts the rapturing faith for the going away. Oh, hallelujah. I'm excited about that. So what is holding back the triggering of our rapturing faith? Here's what it is. The bride is still too divided up with traditional and doctrinal differences. How many understands that? We're just still too divided up, and it's okay. God has allowed it for the time being because it's given us time to get everyone in, but we're coming down to the last, like if you're running a marathon, this is the last mile. This is it. And people are dropping off. They're like, oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. Can you imagine quitting just before the rapture? I just can't do it. I mean, you can't quit the marathon and still think you're going to win it. It doesn't work like that. You know, so you've got to stay in the marathon. So just real quick, a couple more of these quotes I think are really helpful. He says, if God's children would throw down them little old traditions and unite themselves together in one blessed church of God, the rapture would come. But he says, as long as Satan can keep them broke up, so it is. Here's another one. Send us teachers. It's a prayer. Send us teachers that'll get these old middle walls of partition broke down so we can get to be one in Christ Jesus so the rapture can take us home. This ought to be our cry, all of us. Where's our preachers? Where's our leaders? Where's our teachers? Most teachers and leaders are separating people from people. Separating, this is my flock. You keep your flock over there. That's not what God called us to do. In fact, you're not my flock. Just letting you know. Jesus is the shepherd of the flock. I have a stewardship responsibility for you, not an ownership responsibility. And that's been the mistake. Ministers thinking they own the church. They own your money. They own your life. They tell you what to do, how to live. That's not our responsibility. We are only stewards. We need to be examples to you. We need to lead you by example and to show you, follow me as I follow Christ, but no other way, because in the end, you're only following Christ. Amen. You're not supposed to follow a man. Can you say amen? Amen. So he says, we need teachers who will get the middle walls. Saints, is there anything wrong with that? Does anybody have a problem if I try to break down some middle walls? Anybody have a problem if a teacher does what he said, starts breaking down these walls, these little walls of tradition or whatever it is? That's the only thing. If we don't all get together, it's not going to happen. Amen. But God said it will happen. It's a promise. So something's got to start it. Now, he spoke of his going past the curtain of time as a place of real holy love. And I don't have time to read this, but I want to just say this. When he experienced what Paul, I believe, experienced, and he saw in the third heaven, he saw the people there that were already saved, that had already passed away, they were there. And they were just hugging him, embracing him. He said there was just so much love there. And in this one place, he says, it'll be something like that among the people on earth that will cause the rapture to happen. It has to be among us. In other words, we have to get in the same spirit as they are just over there. The saints of all ages have passed away, and they're there enjoying each other, laughing, hugging, embracing, sharing, rejoicing, full of faith, peace, love, happy. We're on earth fighting each other. They have everything. We have nothing. Think about it. What do we really have? But we do have Christ. And so if we could mirror what they're doing above us, the rapture is going to happen. Amen. That's why you need to be hearing from your theophany. Amen. You need to be hearing from the Holy Spirit so that you can get in the spirit of the Word of what they're doing and how they're experiencing life, we need to experience it here on earth. Then it's going to happen. He says that in 1965, he says it'll be something like the people was there when it takes its rapture. Do you believe that? In other words, what is it? It's called victory in the love divine. Do you realize there's victory in faith, victory in revelation? There's all kinds of victories you have in life. Victory over sickness. That's a healing victory. All kinds of victories. But how many believes the Bible says that death will be swallowed up in victory? What victory? Victory in the love divine. How many wants to have victory enough to where death gets swallowed up? And now you have a new body. How many wants that? Oh, guess where it's found? It's found behind the door of love divine. But we keep bypassing that door because we think we have answers somewhere else. The answer is in the same door Jesus walked through. What made him go to Calvary? Love divine. What made him take the whippings? Love divine. What made him allow the nails to be placed in his hands and for him to even say, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, as the mallet struck the spikes? Love divine. He loved you. He cared enough. He saw you as the joy set before him. And the cross, he thought nothing of it. I'll do that for these people. Love divine. That's where our victory is coming from. And it's all based on choices. Choices. We either choose the gnarly door of love divine, or we choose the big golden door of personal dogma, doctrines, and revelations following men. Which one do you want to choose? Let's follow Jesus, the lone Galilean, through the gnarly door of love and go in a rapture. How about we decide to do that? Isn't it funny how humans are? We think, oh, maybe this is the answer. We go with the bright, with the tinsel, with something shiny. But God says, no, go where there's just a glow of the gospel and follow in the bloody footprints of Jesus Christ. There's a supernatural element waiting behind the door. Let's all go there, saints. Amen. That's what's really missing. And you know, I'm going to end on this, but I believe, how many believes God has sent a prophetic word in our day to really get us ready? And I believe in that. It's not just I believe it, but I've read it, and it's there clearly many times, that we're going to need a little extra help to really be in love with each other. How many wants a little extra help? Well, you might not. You ever see that where someone says, Lord, give me humility? And then you say, why did I pray that after the trials and trouble comes, right? You're like, why did I pray that? Well, God gave you humility, didn't he? Sometimes we pray for something so dynamic or beautiful, and then God has to put us, like, in other words, the way up ends up being down. The way up for the Lord Jesus had to be down. The way up for us is the same thing. You're going to go through some things. So don't be all upset or nervous about this. Just embrace it, because it's life. And if you understand what's going on in the world today, you better believe it. Everything is focused on a bride to get her in a rapture. Because we need to get out of this mess. Do you think this world is in a mess? It's a mess. Do you think a president's going to fix it? No. Do you think the Pope can fix it? No. It's a mess. God's going to fix it. But here's what you have to understand. Here's the deal. And I end on this thought, but when the church started growing into 10,000, maybe 15, maybe 20,000, there's different numbers, in Jerusalem, they were staying in Jerusalem. They had each other. There were some other little ones popping up here and there, but they were basically staying in Jerusalem. And Jesus never said, stay in Jerusalem. He said, start in Jerusalem. And then go to Samaria, go to Antioch, go to the rest of the world. But they were staying in Jerusalem. And then there was a persecution that arose. And when that persecution arose, it drove them out of Jerusalem, and they spread out to the rest of the world. Does everybody understand that? God will always do that. He'll take whatever is necessary. Governments, he'll take socialism, communism, what you name it. He'll take any kind of godless religion or godless belief. I call it a religion, because that's what it is. And drive his people to greater realms. Think about the Chinese underground church. They weren't that big. And then all of a sudden, communism took over China and began to try to get rid of Christianity, and the underground church swelled. It just grew bigger. Isn't that amazing how God works? And if you can understand it, Russia had the Soviet Union had communism for, 70 years and disappeared? Now look at what's going on in China. They're in their 70th year. Communism won't survive. Democracy won't survive, as good as it is. A republic is a good thing. It won't survive. Protects the nation. The only thing that's going to survive is the kingdom of God. That's it. And the bride of Christ, the church of the living God, is the only real true superpower that's on this earth today. Can you say amen? So here's what he says. I believe there will be a time when there won't be any more division amongst the people of God, such as I belong to this church, I belong to that church. I believe the persecution will run all the big ransom churches of God together and will be one in Christ Jesus. And then he will take her home. Take it or leave it. 1964. We know what the third pole is, and I think it'll just lay dormant for a little while until the great hour of persecution comes on. That's when it'll speak. It'll be manifested. Listen, it's going to speak. It's going to be manifested. And when it does, it's going to give us rapturing faith. Anointed, triggered, rapturing faith. A resurrection's coming. We're going home to be with the Lord. So I want you to just understand, these are indisputable facts before God. The scripture tells us there that we are going to do greater works. Greater works are going to inspire your faith. It's already there. It just needs to be anointed. And then that's it. Your body's going to be changed. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the day we're living in, because it's coming and it's here and it's already unfolding. It's just a matter of us realizing, oh, what do I need to do? You just need to keep believing, keep receiving, and keep trusting that as long as we stay together, love one another, we're going to make it. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? And then he says, watch what will happen. It'll be manifested in the fullness of its power. And last but not least, after a short and powerful demonstration of the Spirit, this little hunted and persecuted group will go to be with Jesus. Not a little group in the sense of this little church here, but around the world, you got 8 billion people. Can you imagine just 1% of 1% of 1% of 8 billion? That's a little group. But that could still be 100,000. That could still be 800,000. Around the world, it's coming. Do you believe it? Now, saints, I want you to have the musicians come right now, because we're going to close. I want to just ask you a question. How many here are truly connected to the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you are, how many here desire with all your heart that he will just download rapturing faith right into your life? Just an anointing in your life. Just that's what you're pressing for. How many here desires that with all your heart? Some, let's bow our heads. Some here need a refilling of the Holy Spirit. Some here need a baptism of the Holy Spirit. You haven't even been born again. You want to have that birth experience. Some here need a healing in your body, just a natural healing, a temporary experience of a body change, amen. And some of you here need a restoration and a relationship with somebody else. There's something that's blocking you from another person, or that person is being blocked from you and you're not connecting. And I want you to know, there's no rapture until that gets cleared up. Don't let anything stop this thing from happening and hinder it. We want to hasten the coming of the Lord. Can you say amen? With your heads bowed, we're going to pray. Lord Jesus, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And look, all these things you've done. You came to earth to demonstrate that a man can live the word of God, and you lived it. You came to pay the price for our failure to live it. We came short of your glory, and you died and shed your blood for us. But in that, Lord, you also purchased a way that we can receive you. The same life that was in you that gave you victory is now flowing in your people, flowing into us. Lord, I pray for those that need a baptism of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of the living God would fall right now in this place and fill them, Lord, to overflowing with your glory. Hallelujah. And those that need a healing in their body, and I pray that they'll shoot their hand up right now, and may the electric power of the Spirit of God come and give them healing revelation that'll change their body right now. And I pray for those, Lord, that are part of maybe separating the body of Christ because another member is offending them, or they're offending them, or something is blocking their relationship, I pray, Lord Jesus, we'll break down that middle wall of partition, and may the two come together and become one, so that every member is supplying the need of every other member. Lord God, may the joints of love be that which connects us together. Let us enjoy it, and finally, Lord, that we can have victory in love divine. Oh, Lord, so that we spiritually are caught together, bringing your church and bride together until you said, Lord, through the word of this hour, that when the people are so in love with each other and so connected, the supernatural will just start rising among them, healing and deliverance and people being set free. So, Lord, I pray right now, start with me, Lord. Fill me with such love for your people. Lord, we all need to really love one another like you loved us. And forgive us for coming up short. I pray that the Spirit of God would inspire such love in our hearts. Because, Lord, you made it clear, love is what motivates faith. Love inspires faith to act. Love causes us to run into the gap for our brother and our sister, like Abraham did, David did, Moses did. Oh God, bring it to us now. And I believe it's already here, ready to go, just waiting for us. Help us get there, Lord, right now, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. How many desires that with all your heart? Oh my. Let's sing a little song here. One day I'm going to take a step into my company. One day I'm going. Just another step. Company, one day I'm going. Final step. Next turn in the road, yes, that old devil. said, when we get there, the first song we're going to sing is Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Take one more moment. I would like you to sit down for a minute. Just have a couple things to share with you. On the 23rd, which is the second to the last Wednesday, I believe, of the month. It's the 23rd Wednesday. Brother Isaac Encore, he is from East Haven. Got a little church he's been working on there. He's going to be preaching for us that Wednesday night, so be prepared for that. The second thing I want to deal with right now is Brother Tom. Ivan has been with us now for, what are we talking, like 4 or 5 years? No, more than that. Yeah. Oh, my Lord. Time flies. Time flies, right, Brother Claude? So Brother Ivan's with us, and he served back there working on the sound system. He has also helped in other administrative parts of the church, but we need a deacon, head deacon, and we're already, the nominations have already come in. You've poured them in, and he was resoundingly there at the top of the list. So what we're going to do from that now that he's been in the, knowing that he's been nominated, is go ahead and have a vote for him. And all we're going to do is you're going to pray, and then we're going to have a vote. And I want you to bow your heads, and we're going to raise hands, and we're going to vote. And all that is simply we go by the majority vote, and that's how we vote in somebody into an office or a position. So let's pray right now before we do that. Father, we just know you're here. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. But Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep moving this church with wisdom, keep guiding us and leading us. Let the decisions be made according to your will. We pray that you would, Lord, if just anoint the minds of the people to make the right decision. As your apostle said in the book of Acts, you choose out from among you. You choose seven men to be deacons. And Lord, I just pray right now that that wisdom will flow into us again right now. And Father, we just ask your blessing on the proceedings